Please be seated. Test, test. I'm not sure what's wrong with my... Okay. So, this morning, I've entitled the message, Giving to the Needs of Ministry. And our text is the final section of Philippians chapter 4. We've been journeying together through the book of Philippians. And it's been a powerful book for us in way of knowing how God loves us and how we are to live our lives before Him in faith and trust and belief. So as we come to His Word this morning, let's ask that He would anoint that by His Holy Spirit to our hearts and our lives, and that you wouldn't see the speaker up here as much as you would see God communicating to your hearts. Let's pray to that end. Lord, we just commit this sermon and this text of Scripture from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 23, a bigger section of Scripture this morning. We pray, the Lord, that you would use your word to convict our hearts and move us closer and closer to you, and how we would better live our lives to honor and to glorify you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin talking about giving in way of an experience that I had. When I was in seminary, in my second year of seminary, one of my mentors said to us as a class, you know, I'm planning to go to China. This was one of my professors. And I'm interested in who could go. And one of my dreams was to go to China. This was in early 86, summer of 86. He was planning to go to China. And so I said, oh, I really want to be on that trip. And I was working at the Plains Health Center as an x-ray tech part-time, off and on. And so I was, I'm pretty flush, and I think I can do this. You know, I just asked my boss if he can give me a little bit of time off during the summertime so I can make this trip to China. So I went into my boss's office and presented him the idea. And he said, well, that's fine, Larry, but, you know, I think we can find somebody that's more steady. And please, you know, hand in your badge. Thank you for your service at Plains Health Center. We won't be requiring your service anymore. And I thought, God, what are you doing here? Here I thought I was all okay, you know, financially, and right from underneath me, the carpet was torn out. And I was thinking, how am I going to provide for this trip for China? And not only that, but to continue on with my third year doing my MDiv studies. So I said, okay, God, well, I'll just start looking through the want ads and in the paper. And lo and behold, an ad jumped out at me, slapped me in the face, and said, this is for you. It was $2,000 a month, huge sum at that time. And I thought, $2,000 a month, I wonder what it's all about. And it said, you know, just come, be interviewed, and then there's a little bit of training, and we guarantee you $2,000 a month. I said, well, rough calculations, I could, you know, go to China, and I could also, you know, continue on with my studies at that rate. So I thought, oh, I'm not sure what's involved. And so I phoned them and said, you know, can you tell me what it is that I'll be doing, you know, for this $2,000 a month? And they said, no, you have to come and we'll interview you and you'll know eventually. And I said, okay, good enough. So I went and they interviewed me and they said, you're just the candidate we're looking for. I said, great. And I said, thank God, praise you, Lord. Now I got all my financial problems out of my way. You know, I'll be able to get $2,000 a month. I don't know what I'm doing still, but I'll get $2,000 a month. So they said, well, come to the training the next day, and it's 2 days training, and you'll hear about what you're going to be doing. So great. First day of training, I was just waiting for them, you know, just tell me, what is it that we're going to be doing, you know? And so they talk all this stuff about business and sales and stuff, and I thought, okay, we're going to be selling something. I know that. And the second day, I knew, I said, okay, I really want to hear what we're going to be selling. And so finally, they said what we're going to be selling. We're going to be selling not vacuum cleaners, but TriStar cleaners. And I thought, how is that different than a vacuum cleaner? It kind of sucks up dirt and, you know, and so they gave us an understanding of how we were to sell these machines to people. And they said, you are guaranteed $2,000 a month, not on commission basis, but on the basis of just going and selling these machines and taking, you know, appointments and going into people's homes and presenting the machine. And you don't have to worry about anything. You just have to follow the training and the guidelines. So the training was that you would present the machine, you would suck up the dirt where they had already cleaned with their vacuum cleaner. And then you would present them the dirt that you took out of their carpet after your cleaner had gone over it. And they would be shocked and amazed at how much dirt you were able to pull out of the carpet. This was a pretty fantastic machine. So they said, you know, just first of all, it's still training. Go to your family and friends and present the machine to them. So I said, okay, no problem. So I called up this elderly couple in the church. They were friends of my wife's parents as well. They were an elderly couple. I knew they didn't have a lot of income, but I thought, you know, just I need somebody to present this machine to. Who's going to listen to a vacuum cleaner presentation, right? So I thought, okay, I'll just go and show it to them. So I took it out, and I vacuumed their place, showed them the dirt. They were amazed, and they said, how much is the machine? I said, it's not much. You know, it's only $1,200. You know, their mouths kind of dropped open, and their eyes bugged out. And they said, oh, Larry, you know, we can't afford $1,200, you know, at this time. And, of course, during our small talk, I had dropped the fact that I was planning to use the money to go to China, and I was concerned about my theological studies in the future. And they said, well, you know, let's see the cleaner. And so I give them the presentation. So at the end of the presentation, we were supposed to call back to the office and talk to our trainer, and he was to you know, give us a pep talk and tell us what to do at that point. So I called him up and I said to my trainer, well, I've done the presentation. They like the machine, but they don't have enough money. It's a no sale. And he says, you don't say that on the phone. You don't say that. And I said, oh, okay, sorry. What should I say? Just say that they love the machine. They love the machine, and they want to do anything to buy the machine. I said, oh, they love the machine, and they want to do anything they can. He said, now I want, this is very important, I want you to hang up the phone, set the couple down in front of you, and then look square at the man and say to him, if you really loved your wife, you would buy her this machine. You wouldn't want her living in this dirt that your machine wasn't able to pick up. It's only a paltry $12,000 or $1,200. You know, please. And so I said to my trainer, are you nuts? I'm not going to tell him that. He said, Larry, please come into the office with your machine and turn it in. And I said, fine, I'm going to do that. It was my shortest-lived job that I ever had. I hung up the phone, and I explained to the couple what had transpired. And they said, Larry, you know, we like the machine, but not for $1,200. Actually, we like you more than we like the machine. And so we want to do something for you. We want to give you $300, you know, for your trip to China. And I said, wow, really? Really? You know, I had been taken from the highs of being trying to sell this machine, thinking I might have a sale, to the bottom of saying, you're fired, you know, turn in your machine to, hey, here's $300. We really like you, you know? And through the emotional roller coaster of those few minutes, I got very teary-eyed with the couple, and I said, you know, that was really beautiful what you did there for me. I really, really appreciated that. And, you know, they told me they were going to pray for me. They weren't only going to give me $300, they were going to pray for me. And I thought, well, $300, it's not going to translate into, you know, my trip to China and then, you know, trying to get my stuff together to pay rent and put food on the table and do my tuition and everything. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do that. But God had his plan, and I did go to China. I raised enough funds to go to China. And I used part of my savings that I had. And when I got back from China, I had the opportunity to also work on a part-time basis in a medical clinic, and got that job right away in September when I got back. So God provided. He enabled me to go through that experience, have a wonderful couple months in China, and experience his grace and his mercy, have a wonderful ministry, and then to come back and see God's provision over the course of the next couple months working in a medical clinic with a few new doctors. And that translated actually into me becoming the chief X-ray tech of the clinic and having a staff under me for a year as my wife and I prepared to go for another year to China again. Well, giving to the needs of ministry, I want us to turn in our Bibles to our text this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Looking at verse 10 of our text, and I read that for you this morning, and I have you stand with me as I read to honor God's word. Paul speaking here at verse 10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel and when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desired your gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now, and I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Please be seated. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Well, in the highs and the lows of our lives, financially, economically, when we read this text of scripture, the first thing that jumps out at us is really the relationship Paul has to the Philippians in the way of giving. As Paul wraps up this letter to the Philippians, he genuinely expresses his gratitude to the Philippians for their gift to him through his messenger, through their messenger Epaphroditus. It's quite easy for us to just put this in our own context and think it not much more than sending a card with maybe a cute message and a little money tucked in the side, and there you go. But in Paul's day, it was so much more that is inspiring to us to enable us in our own giving. Paul here does not rejoice in the material means that the gift provides for him. Rather, he glorifies and rejoices in the relationship and the spiritual blessing the Philippians receive in the experience. It appears that Paul never has mentioned his need in way of the gospel presentation and the missionary trips that he goes on. He rather just goes, and the Philippians are left to put on their detective caps and figure out that this guy really has some needs. Here he's being a tent maker, yes, but now he's incarcerated in Rome, obviously has no way to make himself financially solvent, so we are going to send him a gift. Paul's reflection on this gift brings several things to light. I think, first of all, that the Philippians were careful followers of Paul's movement and ministry. They knew what Paul was doing in his journeys. Today on Facebook, if somebody is following you very closely and, you know, putting too many likes on your pictures and things like that on your messages, you might think, creeper, you know. But for Paul, it wasn't that they were creeping on him, but that they were genuinely concerned over him and loving, wanting to love on him. So they were very much all about Paul. They probably had posters of Paul on their wall with little stars beside. Well, I'm stretching the fact here. But the idea is that they really thought Paul was something, a great guy. In our day, out of sight, out of mind, even with Skype, sometimes and all the modern-day conveniences of communication, when somebody goes off to Hong Kong, unless they're a close relative or friend, we kind of think, well, they're out there now, so they're not here in the Tri-City, so how are we going to relate to them, right? I know Wilford's small group, I've heard that when they have their small group, they Skype David, Helen's husband, to be involved in the small group, and they've moved their small group to Friday nights so David can watch Saturday morning Beijing time and come into their small group time and so, you know, have fellowship. Did that happen on Friday, Wilford? Yes, Stella's nodding her head. Okay, so there is ways we have that are far outstretched what Paul had in way of communicating with the Philippians, yet the Philippians were so concerned. They were very much attuned to where Paul was and knew that he was in a Roman jail cell. And so sent Epaphroditus, and this was no small feat as well, because in that day, transportation isn't what it is today. And they gave Epaphroditus this money, this gift for Paul, and sent him 700 miles from Philippi to Rome to bring this gift to Paul. The cost of that is pretty extraordinary, to the point that Paul says in this letter to the Philippians, we've read this already, that Epaphroditus almost died for the sake of this gift bringing to me. The sacrifice and the love expressed through not only Epaphroditus, but the church of Philippi was extraordinary in the weight that it shows of the love and the relationship between the church and the Apostle Paul. How so do we have concerns for one that give the gospel in our own day? And besides that, we know that the Philippine church was not flush. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, I'll read this for you this morning. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of every or very severe trial, their overflowing joy in their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. Wow. It wasn't out of their abundance out of pocket change. Here you go, guys. They didn't have two coins to, you know, rub together. Yet they did whatever they could to gather enough means to give, and give overflowingly to the work of the ministry. The churches of Macedonia included this church of Philippi. It was one of the Macedonian churches. Paul was wrought in heart over the relationship they had with him, that they would show such sacrifice and love, to show it through sending Epaphroditus so many miles, that he almost despaired of Epaphroditus' life. That they gave out of their poverty, not out of their wealth, to him. The gift was overflowing in Paul's mind in the relationship they had, but also the account that was the heavenly account towards God and these people's relationship with God, because it marked that. It showed that these people had a deep relationship with God and so loved his word and loved the ministry that was going on because of that word being able to be shared and people's lives being changed because of it. Quite obviously, the costliness of the gift to Paul was on the extreme level. It was a great sacrifice, as is mentioned in our text. Secondly, contentment in the ups and downs of uncertainty. Paul has an attitude here in the way of contentment that we must learn from, as he says he has, through experience. Paul gives three experiences and opposing pairs of experiences, and the contentment and the extremes of the in-betweens is there for him. He says, whether in poverty and riches, or in famine, hunger, want, or in plenty, I'm still content, whatever. Contentment is a byproduct, folks. It's not something we can search after and say, aha, I have it, contentment, it's mine. No, it's more in relationship to Jesus Christ. So indeed, the frantic seeking after contentment is not what we're about here. It's the pursuit of Christ. When we pursue and find Christ, contentment takes care of itself. Contentment is found in wanting what we already have. Not like we're advertised to constantly. It's old, it's broken down, it's not fast enough. You need to get the fastest, latest, and the best. Contentment is found in God knows best and exuding joy and gratitude for what we have. Wow, look at this podium. Isn't this the best podium you've ever seen? It's black, it's metal, it stands up. This is a nice podium. How much rejoicing do we do in the things that we have? Paul now provides tips here for the Philippians of how he lives in contentment. He sees the things in light of heaven and its rewards. We already have the greatest reward. We already possess the greatest thing in this life. If someone said to you, here's $1 billion. Boom, you know, it's yours. How much would we be going out and really trying to work hard to pay off our mortgage or whatever? That'd be ridiculous. We just, you know, pay for it. We got $1 billion already. Folks, we have the greatest and best gift, reward, thing that we can have in this life. That is knowing Jesus Christ and having relationship with Him and an eternity to spend with Him in a glorious walk in life with Him. It says here in the text, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. It's interesting, isn't it, that that verse is used on underwear and sporting goods, clothing, and all kinds of paraphernalia out there to say that God's going to give me strength. But usually it's kind of ripped out of the context of that contentment. It's ripped out of the context of giving in the scripture. We get contentment by giving ourselves to God and to others. God doesn't promise here to be our heavenly Santa Claus and be giving to those in way of strength and to our needs if we're lazy and greedy and stingy and irresponsible. The promise is that God will supply our needs, not to supply our wants. How is your contentment today? Are you okay when He both gives and takes away? Do you praise Him in the good times and the bad, recognizing that He indeed is sovereign? Are you satisfied with your job, your family, your home? What might God be calling you to give? As it would seem that our contentment is really dependent upon our giving. Finally, Paul greets the Philippians in the closing verses of 21 through 23. The letter comes to a conclusion with Paul's greeting of these various Christians, but particularly one group stands out here. At the bottom of verse 22, it says, especially those who belong to Caesar's household, he wants them to greet. Caesar's household wasn't, of course, those that had the bloodline of Caesar, you know, little Caesars. But no, this was those that were in the household or the service, the imperial service of Caesar. And so Paul being in Rome and Paul being in these major cities that he had traveled to in Macedonia had had the occasion to be involved with those that were in closest proximity to the rulers in Rome. And so it wasn't for another 300 years that Christianity actually became the state religion in Rome and had much import and input into all of Europe and parts of Asia. But we know that God has His perfect plan, that the one that they crucified as a Galilean carpenter would one day be ruled by Him in way of this whole nation of Rome and its empire. What does that mean in way of our giving? We don't know in way of how we give or what we give of its great impact down the road and into the future. But we do know it has huge impacts in Paul's time and in Paul's world and the future that ensued from it. So as you give even the smallest amount to God's work in the hearts and the lives of people around us, in the ministries that have happened, and we've had some great ministries during the summer. We had Peter and Sheldon and Enoch go off to Shenzhen and Hong Kong and Taiwan and minister in several churches. We heard about that last night. We also had OB and a bunch of his fellow Koreans go off to Kenya. We also had Diane and Albert, who are serving through us as missionaries in Shenzhen area. We have so many people that are stretching out their hands and their feet in various parts of our world because we are the Christian Missionary Alliance, and we have so many missionaries that serve through our Global Advance Fund that we give through. Would you consider what God might be saying to your heart this morning in way of giving? And giving isn't just in way of finances. We give ourselves away in way of our time, our services, and who we are personally. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning as we consider that. Amen.
So learn to count your blessings, and we know how to give. Let's stand together and sing this song together. It's called 10,000 Reasons. Our God has more than 10,000 reasons that we can praise for. Amen. So let's try to do this.
Schaefer wrote this. I've got it printed in the front of my Bible, and I think I had it as the last slide on my PowerPoint slide presentation. It says, at the close of life, the question will not be, how much have you gotten, but how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed? It will be how much have you loved and served, not how much were you honored. Let's receive the Lord's benediction upon our hearts today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated.